Amen. If you have your Bibles, what if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And this morning, we're going to finish up our three-part series that we've been looking at that we titled Celebrating Christmas. Celebrating Christmas. For the past few weeks, if you've been with us, we've been looking at biblical Christ-centered truths concerning Christmas. And my desire as I share with you these truths is that they would govern your holiday season and that they would be your focus this Christmas as you celebrate the holiday. All of you know that during Christmas, it gets a little hectic and it's really easy to lose focus on what it's all about. You know, if you haven't gone to the mall yet, or if you haven't done your Christmas shopping, you're going to see that this week is going to get crazy. It's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be chaotic at Walmart in the stores. And it's really easy to be caught up in all that hype, and you begin to lose focus on what it's all about. And it's all about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. And so we've been looking at these truths with my desire that we would all just remember what's important during Christmas time. And we would remember what it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so in our study, in our series, last Sunday, we focused on Luke chapter 2, verses 18 through 14. And we looked at the angel's announcement of the birth of Christ to the shepherds. And as we were looking at this account by way of review, I shared with you four truths concerning Christmas. And I just want to go through them just to refresh in your memory. By way of review, the first thing we looked at was the universality of Christ. We said that the Christmas message is not just for a select few. It's not just for the religious or the rich or even for the poor. But the Christmas message is for everyone. When the angel appeared to the shepherds, he told them, "I bring you good news, which will be for all people, not just Jew, but also Gentile, not just Anglo, but also Mexican and Guatemalteco and whatnot." The Christmas message is for everyone. The gospel is a whosoever gospel. Amen. And as we said last Sunday, I am you and you are a part of the whosoever's. We're not too rich, we're not too smart, we're not too religious, and yet God still loves us, and he sent his son to save us. Amen? You know, you look in the crowd, there's a diversity of us here. Some young, some old, some dress nice, some dress a little modest, but the gospel is still for you, and Jesus loves you. Amen. And so we looked at the universality of Christ. The second thing we looked at last week in our study concerning truths of Christmas was the uniqueness of Christ. We said that on that first Christmas day, the child who was born was unique. It wasn't just any other child, but the angel told the shepherds in verse 11 there in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, that the child was the Savior of the world, that he was the Christ, the Messiah of God, and that he was Lord, ruler, master of all. And so the second thing we looked at is that as you celebrate Christmas, you're not celebrating the birth of just anybody. You're not celebrating the birth of the neighbor's son or the nephew or niece that you have, but you're celebrating the birth of the incomparable Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what makes Christmas so special. It's a birthday like no other birthday. Amen? It's like a birthday that's like just off the hook. It's Jesus' birthday. And that's what it's all about. The third thing we looked at last week was the worship of Christ. That as the shepherd, we're getting this message from the angel that all of a sudden an army of angels appeared and they began to worship God and glorify God. And we said how during Christmas, our focus needs to be on the worship of Jesus Christ and not anything else, because it's really easy to get focused on other stuff and you begin to worship other things. You begin to worship, what am I going to get for Christmas? What am I going to give for Christmas? What am I going to wear during the Christmas Eve service? How am I going to decorate my house and my tree? And you begin to worship all the traditions of Christmas instead of worshiping the Christ of Christmas. And we said how our focus must be exclusively on the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is worthy of our worship. Everything else is idolatry. How many can say amen to that? Amen. And so the fourth thing, and to finish up our review that we saw concerning truths of Christmas, was the mission of Christ. That as the angels were worshiping God, they say, glory to God in the highest. And they said, on earth, peace towards man. And really, that was a little hint of the mission of the child that was born that first Christmas day, that Jesus came to bring peace. Peace with God, peace of God. And truly, the only way you'll ever experience peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. And if you came this morning a little troubled, a little worried, a little stressed out, I would encourage you to draw near to Jesus, because he specializes in giving people peace. Amen. Amen. So that's just a review of what we looked at last Sunday. And this morning we're going to finish up our series, and we're going to cover verse 15 through 20 in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at the shepherd's testimony of the birth of Christ. And so if everyone has their Bibles open, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, let's read all the way down to verse 20. Do me a favor. If you have your Bible, what if you just raise it in the air really quick? Amen. Look at that, man. That just made my Christmas. That just blessed my heart. Everyone has a Bible. Praise God. Bring your Bible. Never go to a church that you don't see people having their Bible. If you walk in there, you don't see at least 90% of the congregation with a Bible. Get out. Go to McDonald's. Take a nap. Because if there's no word of God, there's no message from God. Amen. So let's begin verse 15, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 20. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And we're going to finish our reading there in verse 20. And this morning we're going to look at Luke's account of the shepherd's testimony of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this account, I'm going to share with you four truths concerning Christmas that we learn. And I just want these truths to assist you this year and this week as you celebrate Christmas. And so let's look at four truths concerning Christmas, and each of them has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you got your outline with your Bible open, maybe a pen, a paper in your hand, let's begin and let's look at truth number one. And the first thing we see in our portion of Scripture is the encounter with Christ. The encounter with Christ. There in verses 15 through 16. After the angel announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds, immediately the shepherds decided to go to Bethlehem and to see firsthand the things that had been told to them by the angel. And so immediately the shepherds, you got to remember, they were there in the shepherd's field watching over their flock by night. An angel appears to them, tells them that in the nearby city of Bethlehem, the Savior, the Messiah, was born. And so after they heard this announcement, this message, immediately they dropped everything. Immediately they left their sheep. And that's very rare because shepherds don't ever leave their sheep. But they understood there was something more important for them in Bethlehem. And they left their sheep. They dropped everything. And with haste, Luke tells us, what does that mean? That means rapidly, quickly, they went to Bethlehem and they began to seek out the child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find it interesting that Luke, with the words that he uses, he gives us the understanding that the shepherds were on a mission. And they seeked out and they searched until they found the child. Now remember, unlike the wise man, they didn't have a star guiding them. And Bethlehem was a small city, but it still was a city. It wasn't like Jesus was the only one there. But these shepherds, they had to seek him out. They had to search. They had to look. They had to pursue him until they found him. And Luke tells us that they were pursuing the child, that they were seeking him out, and they finally found him. And just like the angel told them, which would be the sign for them, they found him lying in a manger. What do we learn from that? Simply this. The shepherds, they were not satisfied until they had an encounter with Jesus. The shepherds, they weren't satisfied until they found Jesus. They didn't want to hear simply about him. They simply didn't want to talk about him, but they wanted to personally see him, personally touch him. They wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. And as I was thinking about that, I asked myself this question. How many people will celebrate Christmas this year and they will never take the time to get to know Jesus? How many people will sing some Christmas songs this year? How many people maybe we'll watch a Christmas drama or a Christmas presentation? How many people will attend a church or a service on Christmas Eve or Christmas the day after or maybe Christmas morning? And yet, they will never have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will never get to know Jesus personally firsthand. Many will go through routines, rituals, religious practices, but very few will encounter Christ. Very few will get to know him firsthand. And my word for you, and my word for even myself, would be this. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. But this Christmas, follow the example of the shepherds and pursue Christ until you encounter him. Don't be satisfied with a drama or with a presentation or with a message or with a Christmas song. Don't be satisfied with that, but pursue Christ until you encounter him. Focus on the Christ of Christmas rather than the traditions of Christmas. Because it's so easy to get caught up with traditions, with rituals, with religion, and it's a routine. You come to church on Sunday and you leave the same way you came. And the reason why is because you came to seek out a service, a sermon, a song, or you came to seek out service, ministry, and you didn't come to seek out Christ. And you don't change. There's no transformation. There's no excitement or passion. There's no love. You're still cold. You're still dead and dry inside because you're seeking out a tradition, religion. That's all you're seeking out. And that happens oftentimes during holidays, especially Christmas. You watch Friday night, this sanctuary is going to be packed full of people. Why? Because it's a family tradition for them to come out to the drama. There's nothing wrong with that. We receive them with open arms. We love them. That's an opportunity to reach out to people. But the danger is you're satisfied with a tradition. You're seeking out a routine, a ritual, instead of seeking out Jesus. And you have an encounter with a drama. You have an encounter maybe with a sermon or message or a song, and it touches you emotionally for a few hours, maybe for a few days, but come Wednesday, Thursday, you're back to normal. You're back to step one. And the problem is, there's no encounter with Christ. There's no focus on Christ. There's no pursuing Christ. And you don't get to know Christ firsthand. And I would just encourage you, this Christmas, remember the Christ of the Christmas is more satisfying than the traditions of Christmas. Amen? Seek out the presence of the Lord. Seek out the person of Christ. Listen, as you pursue Christ, you're going to encounter Christ. And when you encounter Christ, you will be transformed by Christ. And he's not going to disappoint you. Maybe religion, maybe this church, maybe a fellow believer has disappointed you. But Jesus will not disappoint you. But don't think because you encountered a church, you encountered Christ. The church can assist, but the church can never substitute for the person of Christ. Don't think because you encountered a good believer, a strong believer, that substitutes for Christ. Nothing can substitute for the presence and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pursue him. Seek him out. You know, there's a verse in the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 8, that is a powerful verse with a promise. And James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's another verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There's another verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, that the Lord says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All those verses promise us that as we seek out God, as we draw near to God, we're going to encounter God. We're going to find him. And when we find him, we are going to be satisfied. Amen. Isn't it so neat to think that God is not playing hide and go seek with nobody? You know, I was sharing that with a group of mine the other day, that when we were small, we would play hide and go seek. And one would be selected to be it, and you would count to 30. Everyone would go hide. And then it was your job to go find them, to go seek them out. And sometimes, for whatever reason, somebody would hide so good, you just weren't able to find them. And like they were there hiding, and they would be like, "Man, forget this." And they would just like jump up, shout out, "Here I am. I can't stand still no more. I'm tired of hiding." But isn't it so neat to think that God is not playing hide and go seek? God is not like evading us, but as we seek God, we will encounter God. And as we encounter God, we will be transformed by his presence. And your heart will be satisfied. Your heart will not be disappointed. Amen. And so this Christmas, focus on the Christ of Christmas. Encounter the Christ of Christmas, and don't focus on a tradition or a song or even a presentation. All that is secondary to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue and let's look at the second truth we learn, and it's found in verse 17, and it's what I have titled the proclamation of Christ. The proclamation of Christ. Luke tells us that after the shepherds had an encounter with Christ, that they made known all the sayings which was told them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That simply means this. They went to the stable, and I'm going to actually use this backdrop, you know, as an example. They go to the table and they encounter Christ. They see the babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. And I even seen Jonah put some swaddling cloths. And I just messed it up, Jonah. I'm sorry. But after they encountered Christ, Luke tells us that they leave the stable and immediately they begin to proclaim to the people. Everything they saw, everything they heard, they began to proclaim and share. They begin to tell the people, the Savior of the world has been born. Messiah has been born. The Lord of glory has been born. And immediately the shepherds began to proclaim everything they saw and everything they heard. Now you got to remember that when the angel appeared to them in the field, the angel told them, "I bring you good news, good tidings, that will be for all people." And that really stuck in the shepherd's mind and heart. And they understood that what was made known to them and what they had seen with their eyes and what they heard with their ears, it was not for them to keep it to themselves, but they needed to share it. They needed to spread it. They needed to proclaim it. And immediately after the encounter with Christ, they began to proclaim Christ. And as I think about that, I think of this. I can think of no better time to proclaim Christ than during Christmas. How many could say amen to that? You know, really Christmas in the entire month of December, it really serves as such a glorious opportunity to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is a platform by which we can proclaim the gospel. Christmas, it just brings opportunities knocking on the door to share the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this month, like no other month, all of us, it's safe to say, are going to be gathered around friends. You're going to be gathered around family members, maybe at a Christmas party, maybe at a Christmas gathering or celebration. And many of the people we're going to be gathered around are going to be non-believers, are not going to be saved. And as we find ourselves in these family reunions or gatherings or celebrations or Christmas parties at work or even at school, that's a perfect opportunity to share Jesus with someone. That's a perfect opportunity to share the gospel. What better opportunity to talk about the message of Christmas than at a Christmas party, than at a Christmas gathering? Amen? That's the opportunity that many of us have been praying about. Lord, give me an opportunity to share with my family. Give me an opportunity to share with my friends. Give me an opportunity to share with my coworkers. And the Lord says, okay, you want your opportunity? The Christmas party is coming up. There's your opportunity. What you gonna do about it? There's your opportunity. Because you don't have to go. They come to you. And there you have everyone. And sometimes even at these parties, they're singing Christmas songs. Joy to the Lord has come. Ask them, hey, you want to know what that song's about? You want to know why we're so joyous? You want to know why Christmas is so special? And so really, during Christmas, we must remember to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the opportunity. That's the platform that the Lord has given us. You want to hear some good advice on sharing? Some of us, we like to send out cards during Christmas. Some of us, and some of us are young in here, so we're like, man, I don't send out nothing at them. Well, you know, maybe one day you will, but some of you know what I'm talking about. We send out Christmas cards, and we send out maybe even Christmas gifts or Christmas messages online through email or whatnot. I would encourage you, take advantage of that opportunity, and in that card, in that email, or even in that gift, take the time to write a verse. Take the time maybe to share the gospel message in a short, clear, concise way, and watch how the Lord will use that. Because during the holiday season, so many people are down, depressed, lonely, discouraged. I've read that it's during the holiday season that more people commit suicide than any other month of the year. And here we are, the church, the body of Christ, celebrating Jesus, and people are dying all around us. People are down. People are discouraged. People are hurting. And that's your opportunity and my opportunity to come alongside with them and say, hey, you know what? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came in order that you might not have to live like this. Jesus was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger. Jesus went to the gutter to rescue you from the gutter. That's the Christmas message. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take advantage of the opportunities we have during Christmas. And we need to share Christ. And I would encourage you, ask God for grace. Ask God for boldness. Ask God for anointing. And this week, this Christmas week, share Jesus with someone. Amen. Somebody tells you happy holidays, right away you say Merry Christmas and just say Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Share Christ. Represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And you tell people, don't be ashamed, what makes the holidays so happy? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Out of all the year, this is the week we can't stay silent. Because the world wants us to stay silent. The culture tells us, don't mention Christ. Don't mention the Christmas message. Don't mention the nativity story. That's what the world wants. But we got to give them the polar opposite, and we got to proclaim loud and proud. Jesus came, Jesus was born, and Jesus saves. Amen? So proclaim Christ. That's the second truth we see. These shepherds, they encountered Christ, then they proclaim Christ. And all of us who have encountered Christ, we need to proclaim Christ. So let's look at the third point. And the third point is found in verses 18 and 19. And it's what I have titled, The Wonder of Christ. The Wonder of Christ. If you look with me in verse 18, Luke tells us that all the people who heard the shepherds speak and testify concerning Christ, Luke tells us that they marveled. That they marveled. That the shepherds were proclaiming Christ, and as the people heard their message, as the people heard the shepherds speak about what all they heard and saw, they began to marvel. The people were amazed. They were awestruck. They were astonished by the good news. Think of it like this. All the people who heard the shepherds found themselves in a state of wonder and awe. And let me give you an illustration. The shepherds were speaking all these things to the people, and the people were just hearing it with their mouth open and their eyes wide open, like, oh my goodness. Wow. That's amazing. That's astonishing. I'm in awe of what you are telling me. I'm amazed by the Christmas message. That's the response of the people who heard the shepherds. And 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. The Christmas message, it should still leave us in a state of wonder, in a state of awe. Listen to this. We all should be astonished and amazed that God would be born in a stable, that God would be laid in a manger. What an amazing message that never gets old, that the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became the bondservant, that the Savior of the world, that he entered the world, that the Creator became a part of his creation. A sense of wonder, a sense of amazement came over the people as they heard all these things, in this morning, as we read about it, as we contemplate it, a sense of amazement, a sense of wonder should come over us. You know, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." What is Paul telling us? He's telling us that it's a mystery. I'm amazed. I'm at a loss of words. God came as a man. God was manifested. God was born into this world. And even Paul, who had all the words, as you read Romans and as you read some of his epistles, he was at a loss of words. And the only way he can share, he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." It's a mystery. I don't understand it. I'm astonished. I'm amazed at this message, at the Christmas message. It's not a message just for kids. It's a message for everyone. And it leaves you in a sense of awe and wonder that God was born in a stable, in a manger. God Almighty, the God who created the heavens and the earth and the seas, he was born in a manger, in a stable. He humbled himself to the point of poverty to save us, to rescue us. That's an amazing story. That's a story that leaves you with your mouth and eyes wide open. The wonder of Christ. And I just want to share this, and I just beg you, please, hear me out on this point. Never lose your wonder of Christ. What do I mean by that? Simply this. Never cease to be amazed and astonished at Jesus Christ. Never lose your wonder of Christ. Don't put Jesus in a box. Don't fool yourself in thinking that you have Jesus figured out. Don't think you know everything about Jesus. Don't think you got him figured out and you understand him the way you need to understand him. Don't lose your wonder. Stand back and behold and admire the greatness and glory of the Son of God. Don't lose your wonder. Be in awe of Christ. Be in a state of wonder before Jesus. Listen to this. Where there is no wonder of Christ, there is no worship of Christ. Wonder leads to worship. If you're not amazed at Christ, if you're not in awe of Christ, if you're not dumbfounded by Christ, at a loss of words, there is no worship. Wonder leads to worship. Listen to this. Without wonder, there's only cold, dead religion. Without wonder, there is only lukewarmness. Without wonder, there is only yawning during the message. Without wonder, there's only sitting down during worship. Without wonder, there's only staring at the walls during prayer. Without wonder, there's only tapping on the watch during service. Without wonder, there's only cold, dead religion. Never lose your wonder. Never lose the excitement, the passion for Jesus. Be amazed at Jesus. Be in awe of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is so much bigger and greater and glorious than we can possibly imagine or comprehend. And just be in awe of Christ. Amen. You know that one of my favorite songs has this chorus, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. And that's what the song's all about. Just being amazed, being astonished, being in wonder of Christ. And I would encourage you, don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that. You know what you can do every day this Christmas, but also every day, ask the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with wonder for Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with amazement. Be in awe of Jesus. Be in awe of him. Because sometimes what happens is as the years go on in the Christian walk, if you're not careful, everything can be dry. Everything can be cold. Everything can be a little rugged. And you lose the wonder of Christ. The passion, the fire, it begins to leave. It begins to die out. And everything begins to be a chore. It begins to be a work rather than an honor and a privilege. And we must never lose the wonder of Christ. Keep your first love. Don't lose your first love. Don't lose your first love. Stay like a tree. Stay like a plant. And don't be a stone. Don't be a rock. You know, there's some Christians who they're stones. They're rocks. There's no passion. There's no love. There's no wonder for Christ. And they wonder at everything else. They love to stand when their favorite team scores a touchdown. They get excited when a new movie comes out. They jump for joy when the boss tells them that he's going to give them a raise. But when you come to church or when you spend your alone time before Christ, it's boring, it's dry, it's dull. And I think to myself, Lord, how can people get excited for a touchdown and not excited for you, God? How is that possible, God? What's wrong with us, God? What's wrong with the church, God? What's wrong with me, God? And the Lord tells me, it's because you lost your wonder. You lost your passion. The church no longer is amazed at me. The church is no longer astonished by me. They think they have me figured out. They think they know me. They think that they have me in a box. And the Lord says, get me out of the box. Stand back and just behold my greatness. Behold my glory. Let my spirit fill you with wonder. Because wherever there's wonder, there's worship. But if there's no wonder, there's no worship. It's just a routine. And I would encourage you, be overwhelmed by the Christmas message. Be overwhelmed by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to get excited about something, get excited about Jesus. Amen? How many could say amen to that? That's a good point. That's a good word that I pray and hope you wouldn't forget. Never lose the wonder of Christ. Now, I've been serving the Lord Jesus 7.5 years. And I feel like I'm just beginning. Straight up. 7.5 years. And I look back at those 7.5 years and I say, Lord, I was just a little kid. But Lord, I'm finally being able to understand. It's kind of like I feel like I just began. The glory, the awe, the amazement of Jesus. And I'm more excited today about Jesus than the first day I gave my life to Christ. And if you can't say that honestly, sincerely, then you need to seek out the Lord and beg him to set your heart on fire for Jesus. Because the most saddest thing is a dead Christian and a dead church. And the Holy Spirit has come to bring life. Amen. I would encourage you with that, family. Let's finish up with this last point. I'm going to ask my brother Jonah to come up. We can end with a worship song. The last point we want to look at, it's found in verse 20, and it's what I have titled the glorifying of Christ. The glorifying of Christ. Luke ends his account, if you can look with me at verse 20, by telling us that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. So Luke ends his Christmas account here in verse 20 by telling us that the shepherds returned to their field, and as they returned, they were glorifying and praising God. And there in verse 20, that's where we must end our Christmas series with this final truth, glorifying Christ. And I just want to end by saying this. This year, as you celebrate Christmas, do everything for the glory of Jesus Christ. Glorify Christ in all that you do. Amen? When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're at your family gatherings, when you're here at church, glorify Jesus. The shepherds, they encountered Christ, then they returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. And this morning, I'm believing that all of us have encountered Christ in the scriptures. And listen to this. Tomorrow, we're going to return to work. Amen. Tomorrow, we're going to return to school, some of us. Amen. Tomorrow, we're going to return to home and we're going to return to responsibilities. And as we return, we need to return glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've encountered Christ. We've contemplated Christ. We've gathered together and worshiped Christ as a family. And that's going to continue this week. But as you return, like the shepherds, glorify Christ. Live for the glory of Christ. Bring honor to the name of Christ. Pursue the presence of Christ. Bring pleasure to the heart of Christ. Glorify Christ in everything you do this week. Remember, Christmas is a time to glorify Christ. And not only Christmas, but every day of every month of every year. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all for the glory of God. Glorify Christ. And if you're struggling, if you're battling doing that, ask the Holy Spirit for help. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and assist you, help you with your struggles. If you say, you know what, Adam, man, I struggle glorifying Christ with my language. I battle, Adam. I struggle. I'm rude. I curse. I mock. I gossip. And if you have this struggle glorifying Christ, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a new tongue. Ask the Holy Spirit to touch your mouth. If you say, you know what, Adam, I got struggles with my mind. I lust. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm down. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and He will, to bring glory to Christ with your mouth, with your mind, with your eyes, your ears, your hands. Everything you do, may it be done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I end by saying this. A young girl asked her mom the question once, "Mom, what makes everybody so happy at Christmas?" The mom responded, "Well, because it is the Lord Jesus' birthday. And because we love him. And because we are so happy about him coming to this world." The young girl thought about her mom's response for a minute. And then she said, "Mom, then is the Lord happy about us? Is the Lord happy about us?" What makes Christmas so special is we're happy that Jesus came. We're happy that Jesus came to save, to rescue, to deliver. But the question is the Lord happy about us? Is the Lord happy about you? About how you're living your life? Are you living for his glory? Or are you living for his glory? Are you celebrating Christmas the right way, with the focus on him? Or are you celebrating Christmas the wrong way, with the focus on everyone else? I would just end by sharing, glorify Christ. Love Christ. Honor Christ. And if you're struggling with that, all you have to do is ask God to give you the grace to help you serve him acceptably. It's as easy as that. You struggling, you battling, the fire, the passion is just not there. All you have to do is ask God. All you have to do is humble yourself and cry out, "God, I need help. God, I need grace. God, I need you to fill my heart with your presence. God, I need you to bring change. I'm battling. I'm struggling. I hate the way I'm living. And I need change. I need help. I need grace." And God is just so ready to pour out his grace. All you have to do is ask. And to dismiss this morning, what if we end by asking God for grace? What if we